You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
How many of you guys know Christianity is more than just talk? You guys know that? That this life is about power. Now, we have kind of done something. I know I've done this in my own personal life, but I've made Christianity so much about morality, and that's not bad. But how many of you guys know you shouldn't sin? Anyone in here? Yeah, okay, what? Yeah, we're at church. What the heck? He was like, what? That's not, I didn't know that. I thought Christianity was my past, dude. Nah, man, but most of us have been weighing out our Christianity, whether or not we're really doing this, based on our morality. And when I say morality, I'm talking about your morals. I'm talking about, you know, we think Christians, the really saved people, are the people who don't sin. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you look around this church, right? Find the most Christian person you know and look at them, all right? All right, go ahead. Find the most Christian person you think's in this building. Like some of you guys are looking at your spouses, very smart, very wise. My wife seriously turned around and looked at somebody else. She knows me better than anyone, I guess. So I guess that makes sense. Nah, man, we judge Christians by how well they walk out without sinning. In fact, we make most of Christianity about purity, and we do that in our personal lives, don't we? I mean, you guys know what it's like when you screw up, right? You sin. What do? You pout to the Lord, and you end up at the altar, right? And you cry. That's not what the altars are just for, so if you go to the altar, don't think, I think you're a sinner. I know that's not true, but, you know, like, we take this thing, we go, man, I can't believe I screwed up. Am I even a Christian? Right? And all of a sudden, our Christian walk is like reduced to whether or not you can live a moral life. And I want to say this, though, that there is wisdom and power in morality. There is. There's something about being pure. How many of you guys have been set free from sin? Anyone in here? How many of you guys have walked in new power and new freedoms, right? It's amazing. And I don't want to take away from that, but we have to go a little bit further. Paul says this, man. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. 420. You got some jokes. I know you do. 1 Corinthians 4:20. This is what Paul says. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Everyone say power. Power. Man, wouldn't it be tight if we had Kanye West here and he could sing that song for us, you know? I don't know it. I'm a Christian. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, I just want to ask you this. Look, you don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to answer me, right? You don't need to do any of that stuff. But how many of you guys feel like in your personal life that you're walking out that biblical, crazy? I mean, if you look at all the Christians in the Bible, let's not even go Old Testament. Let's just go New Testament. Let's talk about the disciples. Let's talk about people who interacted with God, right? Let's talk about the Ethiopian. All these people, how many of you guys feel like you're walking in that kind of power? I think most of us, we walk in power. We'd say, yeah, I feel like I have power because I'm happy, you know? Or I feel like I'm in power because, well, you know, I know that's the right answer. But when I look at scriptures and I'm reading about these people who were with Jesus, these disciples, these apostles, these people who you are called to be like, they were crazy. I mean, like, dude walking around seeing a blind guy and looking at him and saying, I don't have money for you, but what I do have, I give to you. Rise up. Well, this wasn't a blind guy, by the way. I said it wrong. This was a crippled guy from birth. I mean, who cares if you told a blind man to stand up? That's not power, you know? He's like, you misunderstand what blindness is, man. Now, he said to the crippled guy who's never walked before, rise up and walk. He grabs by the hand and stands him up. Could you imagine, just for a second, let's pull back. Let's pretend you're that person. Let's pretend you walk outside. You find a man who's crippled. And the very first thing you do isn't like have like, oh, I need to help you. But you're like, hey, man, stand up. And you grab his hand and lift him up. How many of you guys in here would be that bold? I want it. Because I know what would probably happen if I did that. I'd grab them and pull them and then drop them or something. You know, like it would be the end of it. Because how many of you guys have felt like you wanted to walk in power, but it didn't work? Has anyone ever done that before? Man, you prayed for something that didn't work, right? And we're going to talk about, well, how in the world do we walk in power? But first, I need to make something really clear to all of us, because we got to be on the same page. Your Christian walk isn't about refraining from sin. Your Christian walk is that you have been freed from sin, and now you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do His work. Now, that is the gospel, and this is good news. The good news is that, man, Jesus, He died on the cross. No longer are your sins held against you. You can boldly walk into the presence of God. You can. I want to make that clear. You can. I want you to just, when I say that, just think like, I can. Just repeat that in your head. You can walk into God's presence boldly. This is crazy good news. And not just that, He's called you His vessel so that His Spirit, which is extremely holy, dwells within you. Why does it dwell within you? So that miraculous power will be upon you so that you can walk in authority on this earth. You got a greater call than just being a good person. Can I say that again? You have a greater call than just being a good person. Actually, let me just flatline this. Being a good person isn't even your calling. That's just normal. Even the world knows you should be a good person. You are greater than just morals. You're supposed to walk in power. All right. Let's do this thing. I want you to open up your Bibles. I want you to go to Mark 16, verse 17. This is a crazy scripture. I hate this scripture. You guys ever read a scripture and you have to wrestle it? You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys know what I'm talking about? No? Okay. Listen, I hate wrestling scriptures. And there's some scriptures that it would just be easier to ignore. You guys know, you know what I'm saying, right? There's just some scriptures. Maybe you got some bitterness in your heart towards, like, you just, you know, maybe someone really did you wrong and you don't like them, right? And I'm not talking about trust. I'm talking about forgiveness, right? And you're just, like, forever going to hold that against them, right? I know some people who dearly love Jesus, who have told me if I saw that person again, I would kill them. Like, whoa, dude, that's a lack of forgiveness, right? And so you read these scriptures, and some of those scriptures, like that one scripture, man, based on how you forgive, you'll be forgiven. It's like, dude, I don't know how to wrestle that. This scripture, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, this scripture I ignore. Check out what it says. And these signs will follow those who believe. Oh, boy. How many of you guys are nervous at just that right there? These are the signs of those who believe, right? In my name, they will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. Oh, I was supposed to do verse 18 too. Sorry. And what's the next part it says? Hang on, I gotta look at it right here. Say it again, Brayton, because I don't have it written down. They'll pick up serpents. How many of you guys are glad we're not in that church where we carry snakes around? Isn't that, aren't you guys glad we're not that kind of church? And they shall be bitten, not poison. No, that's not cool. We don't want to do that. And it says, man, these are the signs of those who follow me. There it is. They will take up serpents and they'll drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Dude, I read that. And this is, by the way, not Paul or Peter or James. This is Jesus saying it to the disciples. Yo, this is the sign of those who believe. Now look, I'm not going to beat you up, because I look at that and go, shoot. Cast out demons. I don't know what a demon looks like, man. You know, I've prayed for people to get healed, and no one got healed. I mean, I've seen healing, but like, how many times do I have to get healed, God? You know, I've seen like two people when I prayed, and I could specifically say it was when I was praying. It wasn't a group of us. Think, okay, maybe, you know, maybe I'm fine. But Jesus lays it down heavy on us. You know what He didn't say up there? This is a sign of those who believe. They'll stop with sexual immorality. You know why I'm saying that? If you believe, you should stop with sexual immorality. You should stop with lying. But He says, man, these are the things that follow after those who believe me. Now, I've looked at my life a lot, and I've done this in my Christian walk. I didn't want to be a weirdo. Does anyone in here not want to be a weirdo? Right? I don't want to be that guy. And we know what guy we're talking about. You know some of these weirdos, okay? And I've told you guys these stories, man. I've told you about times where people are praying for my healing, right? Like little things, like I hurt my back. It's like, oh, I hurt my back. And someone's like, well, let me pray for you. I'm like, okay. And they pray for me, like, is it better? I'm like, no. But then they keep praying, so eventually I just say, yeah. Like, yeah, no, I think I'm good now, you know? And I just like, I don't want to be that guy, but there's something here that has to kind of click within us. These are the signs of those who follow me, who believe me, who know what I say is true. Not believe that I exist, who believe in me and all that I am. These are the signs. Okay, let's lay this out. Casting out demons, praying for the sick, they're healed, all right? Drinking poison. I don't know who in here is drinking poison, but you know, if you do happen to drink poison, you're going to be okay. If you get bit by serpents, you're fine. So we carry this, and this is why I ignore the scripture a lot of times, is because when I say I believe in God, I will fight all y'all. Like, no, I believe really big. And I use words. And I use word after word after word to tell you what I believe. And then I use word after word after word to go and preach the gospel to people. And then I use words and words and words to convince people. But we just read in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God's not by words. Man, it's by power. And so we need to have a shift. No longer can I have a gospel that's just a bunch of words. I can't be just, I mean, if this Bible is true, I'm still in your Bible brain. It's super nice. It has his name on it. Well, mine's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so. Look at this, man. This Bible, this thing's true. And let me just make this clear. The Bible is your only backbone unless you have a different book that you're trying to believe in God. But if you believe in God and you don't believe in the Bible, then you're just believing in your imagination. Because this describes a God I don't think I would be like. This describes a God who has rules and ideas that I don't think are as good as mine, just to be transparent with you. And so I have to submit to this word. And one of the things that it says is, man, Jesus says, dudes, this is the sign that you believe in me. These are the things that will follow after you. And so when I read that scripture, I go, dude, I mean, I got all the words in the world. I could write you a beautiful poem about how great Christianity is. I could give you advice. But sometimes I look at myself and go, where is the power in my life? I mean, I think you know this. And I know this isn't everybody. I know some of you guys are wild Christians, okay? I know that. I know that some, a lot of you guys are wild Christians. I don't want to say that you're mediocre Christians. Most of y'all, listen, you guys are in this warehouse with us with that really nice, soothing, loud air conditioning unit, even though it's still too hot in here, and you still come to church. Allie and Daniel drive like an hour and a half. Like, you guys are wild Christians, okay? But I just want to say, well, if you had to examine yourself, you had to look at the Word and put yourself up against the Word, what do you look like? Jesus says this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If you've got your Bibles, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm just laying the foundation down. So I want us all to be on the same page. Matthew chapter 28. Is that what I told you? That is what I told you, right? Yeah, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That means he has the say over everything in heaven and earth. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now that you're there, I want you now to go to Luke chapter 9. So Jesus says it pretty clearly. I have all authority on heaven and earth. I'm the one with power. I make the influence, okay? And I want to say this about power. I'm not just talking supernatural. I'm talking about the ability to change things. Luke chapter 9. So he calls his 12 disciples together, and it says, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. So I got the setup. I'm going to lay it down, And I got three things I'm going to tell you, and we're going to get out of here, all right? I'll get you out of here by 11:59. No, I'm just kidding. I'll get you out of here in about 15 minutes. Why do I tell you times? I've lied to you every single week. Why am I even telling you that? I'm just setting myself up for sin. I won't do that anymore. And I always lie the wrong way. I should tell you I'm going longer and then cut shorter. Check this out, man. You and I are supposed to walk in power. Scriptures are pretty clear. And if you don't believe that scripture, just look at the examples of everyone who followed after God. And if you don't believe that, then read what Paul writes to you and I in the church in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. You should desire power to do great things, to edify one another. Wednesday nights, we just went over this. The Holy Spirit was supposed to give you power to do great things, to have boldness, right? And it says in scriptures that Jesus gave power to the disciples, that they could do those things. And then it goes on and says in the end of that, when Jesus is about to ascend, he says, man, I've been given all the authority and power. It is mine. So therefore, go and do what I've called you to do. Now, I'm saying this because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. Is anyone in here want to be lukewarm? Man, none of us, right? How many of you guys want to be crazy Christians? Not weirdos. I'm going to get to that in a second. Not weirdos. But how many of you guys want to be crazy Christians? Anyone in here? Good. Good. The seven of us will have church. The rest of y'all lay down and take a nap or something. I don't know. How the heck are you and I supposed to walk in this power? We're called to it. Scriptures make it pretty clear that Christianity is more than just some songs on a screen and some sermon by a pastor and some saying no to whatever, some indecencies. You know, it's more than just saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Like, we know that there's a lifestyle. So how do we walk in power? Well, I'm going to hit on three things really quick, and then we'll party, all right? You down with that? How do you walk in power? How is it that if you're a Christian, you're supposed to walk this thing out? How do you start walking this thing out? How do you have these signs behind what was on that screen behind me? How do you start having these signs in your life? How many of you guys have prayed for tongues or anything like that? Or probably you guys prayed. How many of you guys didn't get it? It's okay. I'm not going to shame you. So it's fine. A ton of us. I know way more than the hands went up. Don't you try to fool me, all right? I hear during the prayer time. I don't hear no one speaking in tongues. Yeah, nice try. So how the heck are we supposed to get the power that Jesus says we're supposed to have just as an evidence that we believe? The first thing we need to do is recognize who you are. Look at your neighbor. Yeah, look at him. Oh, you can go ahead and look at him. Go ahead, Bill. You can look at us. I give you permission. Yeah, there you go. Look at the person next to you. It's easy to recognize other people. When I said to my wife, or to you guys, my wife turned around, I said, hey, look at someone you really believe is a Christian. And she turned around, who did she look at? She looked at Judy Patassery. She's the most Christian person in our church. Yeah. Well, there goes your rewards in heaven. You just got it. I hope you enjoyed it. Nah, dude. She turned around. It's easy to identify other people. Like, oh, that's a Christian right there. Man, it's easy to identify, like, oh, that's a son and daughter of the Most High God. Because when you look at somebody else, you get to see a surface level of somebody, right? And you don't know their struggles. You don't know what their problems are. You don't know their identity crisis. But I just want you to imagine this for a second. I just imagine, just for like just a little bit, just for a second, right? Imagine Joe Biden. He's the president of the United States, right? He walks in this building, and he walks in, and he casually sits down, and he's not in his suit and tie. He doesn't have his American flag lapel, right? He just walks in a t-shirt like me, a narcissist like me, wearing my name on my shirt, right? Walking in, and he walks in, and he sits down, right? He forgets to have his security around him. He just sits in the back. He gets up, he goes and orders a coffee. He pays for it. Who said amen? Amen, he better pay for it. He got my tax dollars. I'm just kidding. Right? He walks outside and he decides to go sleep under a bridge that night. Everyone else would be like, dude, this dude's lost his mind. Not because he came into our church casually. Not because he wasn't wearing his lapel and his suit. Not because he slept under a bridge, but because he forgot who he was. The president of the United States would never do something like that. Imagine if we had a president, or let's go back to the king days, right? Like the kings, they ruled with an iron fist, right? Imagine if a king was like, man, I don't know what to do. And he just heated it off to everybody else. Like, well, what do you think I should do, Fernando? I'm the king, but what would you do? And Fernando goes, oh, I'll do this and this. He goes, okay, I'll do this and this. And he just passed it on. And he just gave away all authority to somebody else because he was just no good at his identity. Look, this is something that's happening in our Christian walk. There's these people who are carrying the temple, the whole, you are the holy temple of God. Seriously, like the Spirit of the Lord comes down and dwells within you. And I'm not going to go down, this is a whole sermon, but like legitimately, and not just that, God has looked at you and said, this is my beautiful creation. This is what I've created for my temple. You made buildings, you made an Ark of a Covenant, you made the stuff, but I choose this. And it's you. He says, man, this, and then he goes on to say, you're my son, you're my daughter. That's what he says. He doesn't say, you're an acquaintance. He says, you carry my name. All that I am is your inheritance. You know what it's like when I go to my parents' house? Legit. You guys been to my parents' house? It's a resort, dude. It's insane. And they have this humongous industrial refrigerator. They had 11 kids, so refrigerators get bigger than you think, all right? And so he has this huge refrigerator. It's so big, it's hard to open. Is that not true, Maddie? I walk into my parents' house, and you know, at any time, and this is no joke, at any time I could go in, it could be at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll walk in and I'll open that fridge door, and whatever's in that fridge, I could have. And believe me, my dad's been annoyed at me about it, all right? Because, you know, he buys like salami, but he doesn't buy salami. He buys the deli salami, okay? Like the expensive stuff, right? Boar's Head from Publix. You know he's got money when he's getting that. And I'll go in there, I'll just eat it. And he might be annoyed because he wanted some. But did you know I have the privilege and the right to do that? Now imagine for a second. Thank you. Imagine for a second if I walked into my dad's home and I just was shy and acted like I was a guest. Listen, some of you guys have been to my parents' house. I've seen you at my parents' house. Imagine if I acted like you, okay? Not touching anything, you know? You sit on the very edge of the couch. You guys know what I'm talking about. Never get your own food or drink because you're afraid that you might be rude. You would look at me and say, dude, are you and dad okay? The reason why I could walk in there and do that boldly is because I know who I am with my father. Some of y'all can't even enter into his presence boldly. You go, I don't know how. I'm still a guest at his table. I feel like I don't even know him. And the Lord's trying to say, man, don't do this by word. Do this by power. But God, I don't know how to do it. He says, then just start recognizing who I called you to be. You were never called just to be some mediocre, lukewarm person on this earth who half believes what I am. He says, I called you to see my goodness and to walk it out, recognizing that you have the same authority I do. Well, what kind of authority is that? Jesus had authority over the wind and the waves. Jesus had authority to walk on water. Jesus had the authority to cast out demons. Jesus had the authority to shut people up. Wait a minute, that's mine? The Lord's saying, man, you want to walk in power. And I'm going to say this to you, church. You need to start recognizing who you are. And this isn't self-motivation. This is, some of y'all got blinders because the enemy's been lying in your ear day in, day out. You're not worthy enough. You're not worthy enough. You're not worthy enough. You're not moral enough. And the Lord's going, I took care of the moral part. Now you just need to start walking in me. You're supposed to walk in power. Number two, not just recognize your identity, but we see this all through scriptures. I'm not going to give you all the scriptures because we don't got enough time to do all these scriptures. How do you walk in power? Recognize who you are. You are the son and daughter of the Most High God. You are an ambassador from heaven. You walk with the authority of heaven in your life. So start using it. Number two is faith. Doing it because you actually believe it. This is a big one. This is a whole sermon within itself. Over and over in scriptures, Jesus says, man, if you just had faith, it would work. This great story. I love this story. This is a kid. He has epilepsy. Ends up, it's a demon. The kid keeps shaking and falling into the fire. So the father says to the disciples, the father of the child, yo, can you guys heal my kid? Come with your power and save my child. So they come over. They're praying for him. Nothing happens. Bro, that's like 99% of the time when I'm praying for people. So I love this story. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Finally, the father of the child comes to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, your disciples can't do it. Will you come and do it? So Jesus shows up, looks at him and says, be free in the name of Jesus. Boom, healed. Just like that. So the disciples come up to him. And this is a lesson you should learn from the disciples. When things don't work for you, you should go to Jesus, not go to everybody else. I just want you to know that, all right? That's a side note. So they go straight to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, why didn't this work? This is Jesus' response. You don't have enough faith. That's where he starts. He's going to go a little further. That's part three. But he says, you don't have enough faith. Let me tell you what faith is, because sometimes we think of faith like a liquid in a vial, like we have to go get more. But let me actually explain what faith is. How many guys believe? Who's calling me? Are you in here trying to prank call me? Someone's in here trying to call me up. It's like the fifth time. It better be important. It's probably the pizza for the afternoon. You guys aren't going to get pizza now because I'm not answering this phone call. Hey, let me explain this really quick about faith. To say that I believe that God is real is not faith. Okay? That's not faith. To walk as if God is real is faith. Does that make sense? It says this in James, faith without works means it's dead. That means it's not faith at all. It's non-existent. So how many of you guys right now believe that God forgave you of your sins? Anyone in here? Awesome. That's a big deal. And I know that you believe it because if you truly believe it, you'll walk it out, right? That means you have faith that God has forgiven you of your sins. That means when I walk into his presence, I don't walk into his presence and go, oh, I'm filthy and shameful. I walk into his presence going, I know that you forgive me of my sins. And I have faith so I could boldly walk in. I believe it, so I act upon it. Now, I'm going to say this about my wife. Susie, can I use you for a second as an example? Thank you. I believe my wife loves me. Thank you. I have faith that she loves me because I go home to her every day and I won't look at another woman. I'm going, no. This is the woman I love and she loves me. So there's action behind my belief. Faith is the easiest thing to explain when you say if you believe something and don't have actions behind it, then it's dead. It doesn't exist. That's not faith. That's a false belief. Real faith is that you believe it and you walk it out. So when I say you walk out in power, you need to have faith, right? The disciples are praying over this kid who's sick, and he's saying, listen, you might have the head knowledge, but you don't have the actual core direction where you believe with everything inside of you that it rules who you are. For instance, Peter says to Jesus when he's walking on water, he says, Jesus, if you call me out, I will walk on that water. And so Jesus says, Peter, come on. So what does he do? He steps out of the water and he walks on the water. He took action. If you call it, then I'll do it. Jesus said, well, I'm calling you. So he says, I'm going to do it. And then we know the rest of the story. It's crazy. This is what happens. He starts walking. He puts his eyes off Jesus, looks at the waves, and what's happening? He starts thinking. Jesus grabs him. And what does Jesus say to him? Oh, you of little faith. Bro, if Peter has little faith, I'm in trouble. Let me just break this down, though, real quick. What do you actually believe? What are you actually walking out? I said you're a son and daughter of Jesus, the Most High God. I said you're the holy temple of God. Everyone in here said, yeah, I believe that, but I'm looking at you going, then are you walking that way? Are you walking as if the holiness of God is inside of you? If you're walking that out, then I'm going to tell you right now, you have the faith to walk in power. But if you're still walking around and you're going, oh, I know I'm the son of God, but man, I still feel very far from him. I don't feel like he even likes me anymore. You don't have faith. You just got some head knowledge. Man, you want to walk in power? Scripture says over and over, you have to have faith. Without evidence that you actually walk it out, it's dead. I use this example. I didn't want to use it, but I'm just using this as the final note for faith. If I told you, well, this is kind of crazy talk. You guys cool with some crazy talk for a second? If I told you in my backpack there was a bomb, right? Now, none of you guys believe it, right? None of you guys. And I could convince you, but you know who I could tell who really believed it? Who actually has faith in what I'm saying? They'll get up and leave. Right? That's how you know if they really have faith. Did you know God says, I'm judging every word that comes out of your mouth, every good deed? You know why he says that? Because it's a measurement of what you actually believe. Some of us say, I believe it, but you're not walking it. And God's looking at you going, that's what I'm talking about, lukewarmness. You say you believe, yet you will not do. Lastly, power. This one's crazy. This is my very last one. I'm going to land on this one. These are, by the way, I hope you're taking notes because this is more of a teaching anyways. Look, right after he tells the disciples, yo, you guys, that kid couldn't get healed because you guys have a little faith. You know the next thing he says? But some of these things only come out with much prayer and fasting. What? Some of these things only come out because of much prayer and fasting. That's what he tells his disciples about that young boy. You don't have enough faith, dude. You're lacking in faith. But also, you're not praying and fasting. How many of you guys want to walk this Christian out with power? Anyone in here? All right, here's some practicalities for you. Number one, know who you are. Number two, have faith. Actually walk it out. And this is a great way of measuring out your faith. How do you walk compared to what you say you believe, right? But number three is actually taking time to pray and fast. Y'all. I love food. No, I'm not joking. Every night, even after we eat a big dinner, you know what I do? I open the refrigerator. That's all I do. I just do this. And I close it. Does anyone else do that? Like literally anytime I see a refrigerator, there's a habit of mine to see what's inside of it because there might be something just delicious that I can't refuse. I'm not joking. Anyone go to QT? Listen, I do not think gas station food is something you should buy. But I walk by those hot dogs and egg rolls and I seriously look at them like that might be worth it. That's disgusting. I want it. Listen, I love food. Scriptures actually tells a bunch of people in the Bible, man, you guys, the way you act, right? This is what he says. Your stomach is your God. That's what it says. Meaning like your stomach decides for you whether or not you're happy or sad. Your stomach decides for you whether or not you'll sit in prayer or not. Your stomach dictates you more than I dictate you. And there's a scripture he talks about, man, you want to walk in great power? He says, man, you got to have faith. But then he says, but also you need to pray and fast. Like, and when fasting, by the way, I kind of push against this idea, like fasting, social media and stuff, that's not a fast. That's called self-control. Fasting is taking food away from yourself, taking water away from yourself. He says, man, do this often, like do it a lot. And he says, and be in prayer a lot. And when you look at the scriptures, right, you read the scripture, you read about Jesus' life, you know what he's doing all the time? Praying. All the time, all the stories about Jesus, he's always coming down from the mountain because he's like, I gotta be in prayer. I'm walking in power day in, day out. You know, dude's like, you know, he's doing everything. He's healing the sick and the leper. And he's raising people from the dead. But what he kept doing is, I got to go back to my source of power. I got to go back to the one who gives me power. I got to sit with him. I got to deny myself. I got to sit with him. I got to deny myself. And I got to sit with him. If I was to look at Jesus' life, who I think we all agree walked in power, you know what I recognize in him? The dude had faith. The dude knew who he was. And then he walked with fasting and prayer often. So I'm looking around, I'm going, man, Christians, fellow brothers and sisters, Christians, do you know what that word means? It means people like Jesus, Christian, Christ-like, people who follow after him. I'm looking at this going, man, it's such an easy trap to find ourselves in this, like, I don't know, first world country idea of Christianity where we do like nice charity work and we try to stay morally clean. And I'm afraid that many of us have become like the Pharisees. No power in our walk, just a bunch of words. just a bunch of like rules and regulations, and we gotta judge one another, you know, kind of like, oh, well, he fell, he's going really bad, and oh, that guy sinned over here, and we're kind of like excited and sad to see the sin, but we still walk with no power. And we go, man, I read it in the Bible, and Pastor Tommy read that scripture, these are the signs of those who believe, but we just do what I do, you know, kind of shove it to the side and find another topic to eat, find another topic to get into. And those three areas that I hit on, and there might be some more, but those three areas I hit on, I really look at it and go, man, I really don't know if the church, us, me and you, know just how crazy it is that our fathers called you his children. Jesus says, you're my brother. You're so close to me. There's no one closer. More than a friend. He says, that's who you are. And he goes even further and says, I've given you the authority. He says, I handed it to you. He goes even further and says, man, you are my holy temple. And I think we forget. I'll just be honest with you. I think we forget. We get caught up, you know, scrolling on Instagram, or we get caught up in work and business, and we forget, like, whoa, that's who I am. I'm not a product of my desires. I'm not a product of my ambitions. I'm a product of the Most High God. That's who I am. That's my identity. It's not by my background. It's not by my history and my family, but my identity is because God adopted me. And then it's like this other part where it's like, okay, I believe it. I'm going to walk this thing out. If the scriptures really says this, then I'm gonna live by it. I'm just going to do it. Like, if he says forgive, well, I'm going to forgive. I got it. If he says turn the other cheek, well, then I will turn. I believe in your word, Jesus. I believe in who you are. So I will walk it out. And finally, I want to just start fasting. I got to start praying. I'm going to start laying down before the Lord, not just once every 5 minutes, every week, or you know, with a Bible plan alone. Like, that's good. You should be doing that. But man, let's go a little bit deeper. What if we just took 2 hours? I mean, if you look at your phone, most of us on average spend 5 hours a day on our phone, right? That's on average. That means there's people in here who do more. What if we just said, you know what? I'm going to reduce that to 4 hours. I'm going to take 1 hour just to pray. Could your Christian walk go from many words to much power? I would argue, yeah. In fact, I would say maybe the thing that's lacking in your Christian walk, that's keeping this thing from just being this like mediocre habit type Christianity versus the lifestyle of radical, you know, normal Christianity, is those three things. You don't know who you are. You believe more than you actually walk out. And finally, you haven't been praying and fasting. And I want to encourage us as a church. You and I have a great opportunity to be walking in power. And that power, by the way, is nuts. I mean, Peter and Paul, those guys were calling physical things into authority. Be healed. They're calling spiritual matters into authority. Some of y'all are walking in life and you got spiritual things going on around you, demonic things, and you can't call it into order. These guys, man, Paul one time is being chased by this woman who just keeps talking, annoying him. That's literally what the scripture says. And he rebukes her, and she's immediately quiet. Could you imagine how the power to tell people to shut up, and they didn't? Wouldn't that be amazing? Spiritual matters, physical matters. Your home could be called into order. Husbands, your home can be called into order by walking in the power of Jesus. So I want to encourage you today. Recognize who you are. You're his son. You're his daughter. You're his son and his daughter. You can walk into his home and open up his refrigerator and take what you want. You are not a guest. Walk in boldly. 2, have some works behind you. Don't just say you believe something. Put yourself to the test and say, I want to walk it out. And 3, can you do something with me? Start fasting and start praying and start indulging in the self-denial and sitting with him. And let's do this as a church. so that when we go out in the streets and we do outreach, or when we go into our neighborhoods, people look at us and say, it's not by what you say, but it's by the power you walk in. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.